What does the Bible say about arranged marriages? The best marriages are arranged. The person that needs to arrange the marriage is God. God totally brought you into my life. It was completely a God thing.
Yeah, it was like a complete miracle.
Really, a biblical marriage is a man, a woman, and God himself. And if you lose that kingdom purpose, it makes your marriage more susceptible to attack.
Like, our personalities were so different, but we're so similar. And only God could have done that.
And God's the best matchmaker.
Yeah.
You know, he invented marriage.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on the Purdue Podcast. Pastor Heather and I just wrapped up our teaching on this subject about marriage, but we're going to be answering this question. Stay tuned. What does the Bible say about arranged marriage? God wants to arrange marriages. He wants to be involved with one of the biggest decisions you'll make in your life. If you're married or unmarried, this is going to bless you. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, everybody. We got something new for you today. We are going to talk about some marriage stuff for the first time on this podcast. I'm very excited about it.
And I've never heard anyone
speak about
marriage from this angle.
Yeah, it's going to be
good. This really strong biblical angle on marriage. Man, it's such a, you know, it's going to help a lot of people. Whether you're married or unmarried.
Yeah.
Topics for everyone. We also want to let you know that we're actually putting a link to the notes.
Yeah, we're doing something new.
Yeah, you can go to the description and click on the link and you'll get our notes.
Yeah, for free.
For free.
Yeah.
And at the end of the notes, we actually have some action points, how you can apply this to your life. We really want to help people grow.
Yeah.
And
disciple people.
And just live the abundant life that God has for them. And marriage is a huge, huge
part.
It is.
You need to get a notebook.
Yeah.
And start taking notes. Because sometimes God will speak to you things that we don't even talk about.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that's how I've started really hearing. I've been hearing some awesome things from God, like while I'm listening to another podcast.
Yeah,
which is
I
really
heard
crazy.
This from God while sitting in church.
Yeah.
Just yesterday.
That's awesome.
God just dropped this word into my heart, and and I was thinking about it and chewing on it. It was such a word, and I actually shared it during the altar call, and it ministered to a lot of people. It helped them think the right way about marriage.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you this question, and this is kind of clickbait. We want people to click on this and watch it. But
does
the
really
Bible
not,
say about arranged marriages?
Yeah.
You know, here in a Western country in the United States, we think, you know, arranged marriages are crazy. Like, don't do that. Don't have your parents arrange your marriage. Like, you just need to. But the Bible has a lot to say about arranged marriages and who should do the arranging. 100% of the time, the best marriages are arranged. You might say, I don't know. I don't want my parents to arrange my marriage. But the person that needs to arrange the marriage is God.
Yeah.
100%.
The one that knows you the best.
And if you're already married, he needs to be heavily involved in your marriage. A marriage isn't just two people. You know, really a biblical marriage is a man, a woman, and God himself in that marriage. So we want to talk about what does the Bible say about arranged marriages. And actually, God, this is how he kind of spoke to me during service, just so you can see my train of thought and just how this came to me. But my dad, Pastor Lawson, was preaching a great message on being free from the curse and how poverty is part of the curse and that God has set us free from that. And he mentioned years ago there was a billionaire that came to our church named Peter Daniels. And he had a ministry, but, you know, billionaire, self-made billionaire from Australia. And God just showed him how he could use finances to really advance the kingdom and how it wasn't about him. It was about advancing the kingdom.
Yeah.
And he bought a Rolls Royce, and it offended a lot of people, but he put a sign on the back of the Rolls Royce that said, I am a son of the king. And I was thinking about just what that really means to be a son of the king, a daughter of the king. And it immediately God spoke to me about marriage, you know, in a true kingdom. And in today's modern age, there aren't really true kingdoms out there. You know, a lot of the, you know, royal families, they're just figureheads.
Yeah.
They don't really have authority like they did hundreds of years ago. But for thousands of years, true kings, whenever they married off one of their kids, you know, a son or a daughter, there was one purpose. You know, the king would always decide who that child would marry. You know, the prince, the princess, the king would decide who that child would marry. And the one purpose for the their marriage was to advance the kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, to maybe form a treaty, an alliance with another kingdom, another country, to keep the royal line, you know, having children. But the only purpose really was to advance the kingdom.
Yeah.
And the king would decide who they would marry. And yeah. I was just thinking about that. That's so true for us as believers in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
With King Jesus, that he needs to arrange the marriage. And the purpose for a good Christian marriage is to really advance the kingdom. There's a kingdom purpose to it. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of married people, Christian marriages, they kind of lose that divine purpose to their marriage.
Yeah.
Or they had a real strong purpose, but then, you know, a season changes and they don't really have that purpose. It becomes more of a business arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were very purposeful in having kids, raising the kids, but the kids go off to college. They, you know, have their own lives. Well, what do you do now?
Yeah.
And if you lose that kingdom purpose, it makes your marriage more susceptible to attack.
Yeah.
And the walls to crumbling down. So, yeah, as believers, you are a part of God's kingdom. You know, you're a child of the king, and God needs to arrange that marriage.
Yeah, it's true. What? Are you want me to say something?
Well, I was just thinking about our own marriage, you know.
Yeah.
And before I met you, I was looking for different people, looking for different things. But really, God totally brought you into my life. It was completely a God thing.
Yeah, it was like a complete miracle, really.
Yeah.
I was enjoying what you were saying. I wasn't.
No, I was just trying to give you space to.
I know.
Speak
no,
as well.
I'll interrupt you.
Okay.
You know I do.
You interrupt me anytime. But I think this message is going to be really great for everyone. If you're already married or unmarried, certainly unmarried, maybe you're dating someone, and it doesn't mean like God's not going to bring you a perfect person.
No.
King Jesus won't bring you a perfect person because he uses imperfect people, and he's the only perfect.
But
one.
There is perfect people for. Certain like
for
there's,
certain purposes
yeah well like you're not perfect, but you're perfect for me. Mm-hmm. You know, you're exactly what I needed when I moved here, and I wasn't looking for a spouse at all. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because God knew. I mean, I would go out on a limb and say that I'm really perfect for you too. Mm-hmm. Like our personalities were so different, but we're so similar. Mm-hmm. And only God could have done that. Only God could have done that.
Well, and God's the best matchmaker.
Yeah.
You know, he invented marriage.
Yeah.
And if you look through scripture, he is the one that arranges marriages. He arranged Eve mm-hmm. to be there for Adam. You know, he arranged, you know, Abraham, who received the gospel, who received that blessing, who knew that, you know, he'd have this promised child, Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Isaac was 40 and still unmarried.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember entering my 30s being unmarried and thinking,
you're almost 40.
God needs to help me out. And Abraham realized, like, God needs to make this happen.
Yeah.
So he sent his servant to his homeland. He didn't want Isaac to marry just any woman, anybody mm-hmm. from Canaan.
That is such
He wanted a kingdom purpose for Isaac's marriage.
Yeah. You know, I haven't read all your notes yet.
Yeah.
But are you going to talk about that story?
Yeah, I will.
Okay, because I don't
want to
it's
actually not
ahead.
Even in my notes. But
it's
I,
not.
I thought about
I
it.
I want to say something about this. When Isaac went, when the servant went to go find a wife for him, mm-hmm. he found a woman that had a job. She was working. Mm-hmm. She had purpose. You know,
well,
the servant
even prayed. He sought God, and he knew that Abraham had a covenant. A kingdom purpose from God.
Yeah.
And that for Abraham's blessing and for his, you know, for the gospel to go on,
mm-hmm.
like Isaac had to marry the right person.
Yeah.
And Abraham entrusted his servant with this. You know, he made him swear that you're not going to find a wife for him from just these Canaanite women,
mm-hmm.
from these worldly, non-kingdom women, but you're going to find one from, you know, my home country. And, he prayed.
He prayed and he said, let the woman be the one that it's going to give water to my
camels. Yeah, come and offer me water, but also offer water to my camels.
Yes.
So she had a servant heart.
But here's the thing that people don't realize. Do you know how much water camels drink?
Yeah.
A ton.
There's a lot of work. Uh-huh.
That was a ton of work. And my point is people think, oh, I'll just work on myself mm-hmm. when I get a husband, or I'll just start renewing my mind when I get a husband, or when I find a man, that's going to fix all my problems. No, honey, that's going to add to your problems. Mm-hmm. if you don't start working on yourself and your relationship with God now. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if I hadn't already committed to seek God with my whole heart, mm-hmm. and committed to trust Him, committed to follow Him,
committed to His kingdom.
Committed to His kingdom. But I didn't move here to like be in ministry. Mm-hmm. Remember? Mm-hmm. So like I didn't know what His kingdom purpose was, mm-hmm. but He showed me once I like laid down my life for Him. Mm-hmm. That's when He brought us together.
Well, and for me, too, I actually laid marriage down at the feet of Jesus. And I said, like, I'm not going to try to make this happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and really, I didn't want, you know, other people to set me up either. Yeah. Like, I just laid
like
at King Jesus. Yeah, I didn't want my dad to.
He wanted to, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny.
And maybe you're from, maybe you're watching from India or somewhere where their, you know, families do arrange marriages. You know, God can be involved in that too.
Yeah, He can.
But God has to arrange the marriage. Mm-hmm. And completely. And that's what I just gave it to God.
Yeah.
You know, it's at your feet. Mm-hmm. And you know,
it seems like, I don't know if this is just because I'm a pastor or a woman, but I'm not going to say people come to me all the time because it's not all the time, but pretty regularly there's somebody that's like, pray with me. I'm believing God that I can get married. And that's a good godly desire to mm-hmm. have. But I feel like sometimes their focus is in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like God, I'm 100% convinced that God gives you the desires of your heart when you delight yourself in Him.
Yeah.
And your fulfillment and your delight has to come from Him.
Yeah,
first.
God actually gave me this verse. It's at the very end of my notes. So sorry if you're following along with the notes because we're kind of bouncing around.
That's all right.
But at the very end of my notes, when I just decided I'm not going to worry about this anymore, I'm not going to be frustrated anymore, I'm just giving it to Jesus mm-hmm. and trusting Him with it, whatever that means, God showed me in Proverbs 19:14, it says, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. That means like the Lord has to arrange it.
Yeah.
For you to have that wife, that spouse that He really wants for you. You know, you can receive houses and riches. And I remember thinking like I had a 3,000 square foot house that I lived in on my own.
Yeah.
Just me and my Scottish Terrier Winston. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I lived there on my own for several years and, you know, things were kind of slow in the marriage. You know, I was very single, ready to mingle, but it wasn't happening. And God just showed me that he needed to be the one to make it happen. He mm-hmm. needed to be the one to arrange it.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, you can get houses and riches and a lot of inheritance from fathers, but really a prudent wife is from the Lord, period.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can work for a house. I can work for finances. I can, you know, get an education, I can advance myself, but really this is something you have to trust God with. Mm-hmm. You know, what does the Bible say about arranged marriages? Like, let God arrange it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're dating someone, ask God.
Yeah. And also this is to the women that are listening to this. And if you're single, are you wife material? Mm-hmm. Because you might not be wife material. Mm-hmm. Are you seeking God with your whole heart? Are you insecure? Because you don't want to go into a marriage being insecure mm-hmm. In yourself, because that is the devil's playground right mm-hmm. there. And if you don't know what it looks like to be a wife, go read Proverbs 31. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to have some purpose in life. You need to be seeking God. You don't need to be insecure. You need to have your ducks in a row. You don't need to be in piles and piles of debt. Mm-hmm. You don't need to have a shopping addiction. You don't need to have, like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like there's a lot of women out there that want a husband, but they're not wife material. Like, and, one reason why you said you were attracted to me, because I had a house. Mm-hmm. I could financially support myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't have debt. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I remember us having that conversation. Mm-hmm. That's so important. And mm-hmm. that's just like practical wisdom.
Mm-hmm. That's really true.
It is.
Yeah.
You got something to add? You look like you got your thinking cap on.
Yeah, I think and men need to be secure too. Mm-hmm. You know, and even though when we first met and we went on a few dates, and you just moved here, so you weren't sure about getting in a serious relationship right off the bat. But you kind of said, "Well, I just want to
be friends."
Be friends.
That was a cop out for me.
Yeah, but I just told you, I'm not looking for a friend.
Yeah. That's exactly what you said.
I'm not believing God to give me a friend.
Yeah, you said, I don't have friends that are girls. That's what you said.
Yeah.
That are women. I don't have.
And I still don't.
Yeah, and really, that's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. That's like middle school, high school way of thinking.
Yeah.
Like, that's when you have friends that are girls and boys, you know? Mm-hmm. It's when you're kids. But when you become an adult, no, you're single, you're looking for a spouse, or you're married, and you definitely don't need to have friends of the opposite sex if you're married.
Mm-hmm. You can have friends that are...
No, I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not that, they're my friends.
No.
So I'm just, and you're texting people like you have this relationship with your friend.
Yeah.
Like, no, that is sketch. So anyway, that's just some practical wisdom there.
That's true.
Anyway, moving on.
Jesus has to be the king of your life, though.
Amen. He does.
Man, just thinking about him as the king and you part of that royal family. You are a prince. You are a princess. That means you don't just date whoever.
That's right.
You don't just marry whoever.
That's right. You don't
like
settle.
You are part of that royal family. You're a child of God.
Yeah.
1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him." You know, this message isn't for the world. This message
is not
for non-believers.
No.
It's like alien to them. It's foreign to them.
Mm-hmm.
But as a Christian, you know, you are a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
You are part of his royal family. You are a prince. You are a princess. That means you behave a certain way. You act a certain way. You conduct yourself a certain way, especially concerning marriage.
Yeah.
You know, those of you who are married and those of you who are unmarried, you are part of God's family. And concerning marriage, those who are married and those who are unmarried, you have to be led by God.
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask God what he wants for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is he in this relationship?
Yeah.
And Romans 8:14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God."
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about when you were saying, you know, if you're a believer, you are in a royal family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, you know, the thing about royals is they have the best of everything.
Mm-hmm.
They have the most expensive. They have the best quality of everything. Mm-hmm. And one reason why I always ran away from God in this department specifically was because I was afraid he was going to give me something that wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't trust him in that area because
I don't want to trust you to arrange my
love life. I don't want to trust you. Yeah, I'm scared you're going
to
make me marry somebody that is not attractive to me, or like, you know. But the thing about your heavenly Father is he knows what is the best for you. He knows what you like. He knows what you don't like. And he's not out to make your life miserable. He's out to make our lives so much better.
Mm-hmm.
He only adds to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there are people that are going to be watching this that, you know, they were like me. But I can promise you that he's only going to make your life better.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to bring somebody into your life that's going to make you suffer, you know.
Marriage is such a godly thing.
It is.
I actually don't know why. I mean, the world really gets into marriage because they want to twist what God has made amazing. But marriage is not man's idea.
Right.
It's God's idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, therefore, God is the one who defines marriage. You know, not man, not a government, not a philosophy. And God is always the best matchmaker.
Yes.
And I want to give you just some scriptural proof for, you know, what does the Bible say about arranged marriages? Because God is the one that invented this thing.
Yeah.
And he's the one that invented and created you.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, for those of you who are married and unmarried, you know, you need to go to God about this. That marriage is such a huge thing here on this earth for the kingdom. Genesis 2:24. Yeah, this is when marriage is created by God in the Garden of Eden between Adam and Eve. It says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh."
Mm-hmm.
Man, that is so powerful. You know, God is the one that has instituted this,
mm-hmm.
and And the family is so important to God.
It is.
And I actually just saw this recent trend on social media.
I love
media.
This. You know, this, told me about this.
Influencer guy was going around and asking random dudes to list these three in order of importance. Mother, wife, and daughter. And he asked several, you know, men in their 20s, 30s, 40s, mother, wife, daughter, rank
them. In what
them.
Order should they be in?
And they all screwed it up.
It doesn't surprise
they
me.
They would say, you know, mother first, then daughter, and then wife, because you could always get a new wife, but you can't get a new mom, you know.
That is so incredibly sad, if you think about it.
Yeah, very, very sad. But there's actually a biblical order to this, and it's established in Scripture. It's established by God. And, it, you know, for your life to really function properly as a mm-hmm. man, it's really important how you treat women and how you treat women, you know, the women close to you in life.
Mm-hmm.
But number one, you know, scriptural, as a man of God, your number one priority.
Did you say what order they should be in?
Yeah, I'm doing it right now. Oh, number right. one is your wife, because you become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says in Ephesians 5:28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says about a husband and wife. You know, your wife is number one. As a man of God, your wife is the number one person in your life, period.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two is your daughter. If you have a daughter
mm-hmm.
or a son, number two would be your child.
Mm-hmm.
And your children sometimes try to creep up and run the show.
Yeah.
But that's unbiblical.
Or divide the parents.
So your number two would be your child, your daughter. You're to care for your own children. It's a sacred responsibility. 1 Timothy 5:8, very blunt, but it says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So what do you provide? You provide, you know, shelter, you provide protection, you provide food, you provide finances, you provide emotional support. You know, you're there. You take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
That is your responsibility.
Yeah.
And number three would be your mother. So it's wife, daughter, mother. And, you know, I'm very close to my mom. We just celebrated her birthday.
Yesterday.
And you joke and say I'm a mama's boy. And I am.
You are.
You know, and I'm close to
not
my mom.
Not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way. It's because in Scripture, you are to
great.
Honor your father and your mother.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. When I joke around with you about that, I'm just thinking to myself, I hope Fisher is like that with me. Mm-hmm. I hope he calls me when he's an adult just to say hi. And
yeah.
I think that's really sweet.
Yeah.
And you're not like a mama's not.
No, but it's
and your
wife,
mom doesn't
daughter,
meddle.
Mother. Yeah.
And your mom
and they
does
know,
not
they
meddle.
They know too. They know that you're my priority.
Oh, yeah. There are strict boundaries there.
Yeah.
And not because, I mean, they
and
wouldn't.
And we both work for
they
my parents.
They would not
yeah.
even need a boundary, honestly.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah.
I mean, I consider them parents to me.
Yeah. And you know, I have two younger brothers and they were both married before me as well. So they had to learn. Yeah, you know, they have their own house.
Yeah, maybe they
learned
on
them.
They
make their own decisions.
Yeah.
I'm not to meddle.
But anyway,
you're to leave and cleave. And, you know, yeah. I left the house when I was 18. I was on my own. I moved away to Pittsburgh, then Houston. And
yeah, you were
when
away
I came
for
back,
a while.
You know, my parents offered to let me live in the basement. I'm like, no, I've already left.
Back out.
You're to leave and cleave. I haven't cleaved to anyone yet. But
I'm leaving.
I'm at least left. You know, what does Jesus say about arranged marriage?
What does he say?
Matthew 19, verse 6. Therefore, what God has joined together. Mm-hmm. Again, God.
Yes, that's good.
Has joined together. Let no man separate. You know, he's the one that joins a man and a woman together. Let him make that arrangement.
Yes.
For you specifically. And we were kind of talking about this morning, and I thought you made a good point about this, because I mentioned another scripture that I really like. And actually, when I gave this completely to Jesus, to King Jesus, I'm just laying this at your feet. You know, I'm not going to strive and struggle and be an emotional wreck, just mm-hmm. worried about who I might marry. Another scripture that really impacted me is Proverbs 18:22. It says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's from the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord has to make the arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of talking about it. You said, yeah, find a wife, not finds a girlfriend.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I cannot stand it when men just have a girlfriend for years and years and years and years, and they don't want to commit. That drives me crazy, but also drives me crazy on the side of the girlfriend, because I'm like, don't you value yourself more than that? That you're just going to let him.
And again, it's having that kingdom mindset.
It is.
You know, I'm not a peasant.
No.
I'm part of the royal family. I'm a prince. I'm a princess. You know, I'm to be treated as such. I'm to treat someone else as such.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, you need to have that royal mindset.
Yeah. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. So even the men, when they are, I'm not going to say looking for a wife, because I believe that God will bring the woman to the man. But when they have their eyes peeled and they're just, you know, observing the area, don't just look for the girl that is cute, you know, or just, I don't know. I was actually thinking about this morning, and I just feel like some girls are so obsessed with being eye candy and not about trying to be a wife, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, God, have some self-respect and find out how much God values you as a human. And stop getting being so obsessed. Because guess what? When you're so obsessed with just being, you know, how you look and like, I need to look hot, you know, guess what you're going to attract? Garbage. You're not going to be attracting anything good to your life.
I remember when I was in Houston, I went to a very large young adult service once.
Yeah.
I thought, well, maybe I'd meet someone here. Because I went to a secular university in the arts, and there weren't a whole lot of Christians.
Yeah.
So, and I went to a big church every Sunday morning to, you know, to hear the Bible preached and grow under a great pastor, great church. But I thought, I'll just go check out a young adult service. And there's nothing wrong with
how many young adults were there?
At least 1,000.
Wow.
But it was very off-putting to me. Like the young adult pastor, like, you know, just, he's like wearing a, like a wife beater, like a, you know, with a denim shirt unbuttoned. And I think he's married and had children, but like, you don't dress like that as like a,
no,
as a pastor, as a man of God, you know, like you're trying to show off your abs and your, you know, and that was just
weird.
The whole vibe of everyone there too. And I'm just like, this is
not my vibe.
This
not
is not
the thing.
Me, you know, so I have this bit of advice for like young men, young women, just be a man of God, be a woman of God, go to church every Sunday and go to church. The number one reason you pick a church and go to it is not because of the, you go there because the Bible is preached, period. When I was single in college,
I felt like I'd
and I'd meet someone who I thought was cute and they said they're Christian and like, you know, you're like a oasis in the desert of all these unbelieving atheists and, you know, all this junk and, you know, secular universities. I'd ask them right away, where do you go to church?
And they would say,
I don't go.
Oh my God.
And it's just automatic deal breaker.
Yeah.
It's like, if you are a young man, a young woman, go to church, get your butt in church every single Sunday morning, period. And be a blessing to that church.
Yeah.
Receive the word.
I know. It's
God
like,
will take care. Why don't you just trust God?
Yes.
And just pull your head out of your butt. No, I'm actually very adamant about this.
I know, me too, because here's the thing. We know the reason why we're adamant is not because, yes, we would love to have thousands of people at our church, but that's not why. It's because we understand what God can do for someone when they get rooted in a church.
And just put King Jesus first.
Please. How many couples do you know, like right off the top of your head, how many couples we've known since I moved here that have gotten married, met and got married at church, at our church? I'm thinking
at least a dozen.
Yeah.
Probably a lot more than that.
At least half a dozen. But yeah, so here, I love what your mom says about marriage. She believes that the God always brings the wife to the man. That's what she believes. And I don't know if there's like biblical.
Well, she thinks the man needs to have a job.
She does.
Have purpose.
Yeah.
A big part, a big theme that I feel just in this word that we're sharing today is purpose.
Yeah.
Just kingdom purpose, purpose from Jesus for your life.
Knowing your purpose, and then when you get married, your marriage has a purpose as well. Yeah.
And that purpose, that there's layers to it, and it can be different from season to season.
Yeah, I like what you were saying. I like what you were saying when we were talking about this yesterday. Like, every marriage has a purpose, and it might be different. Like, ours, we're in ministry. Not every couple's going to be in ministry together, right?
No.
Like what are some examples of different purposes that marriages might have?
I think for, you know, like raising godly children, yes, is a big kingdom purpose.
Yes, huge purpose.
I think even if you're like older and maybe you got married at an older age past, you know, child rearing, uh-huh, like there can be a purpose, a super strong purpose.
Yes.
In that marriage. Uh-huh. I've married several, like quite a few older couples, and it's wonderful and beautiful to see the husband love the wife like Jesus loves the church, yes, and minister to her, and there's so much purpose in kingdom purpose in, yeah, marriage, and you can have that purpose towards one another, but also,
and then when you go to church,
in your ministry, when you go to the body of believers,
yeah, when you go to church, I personally love talking to couples that are 20, 30 years older than me.
We have couples in their 80s that are incredible marriages. Like they've long and gone raised their kids, and you know, they might be retired, but
they still minister to me.
So much purpose as a couple, yes, you know, for Jesus.
So like, don't shortchange the purpose for your marriage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just, you know, and every person watching this, see yourself as part of God's royal family.
Kingdom.
You're,
yes,
not just some peasant. You're not just some whoever.
That's right.
Like, you are part of his royal family. You are. And I want to read this verse too.
Okay.
1 Peter 2:9-10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you are royal, and mm-hmm, you have kingdom purpose. It says you once were not even a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So something we're kind of doing as a part of the podcast now, just helping people grow.
Yeah.
And I think this is encouraging for me as someone who's married. I think it's encouraging for
non-married
people. But we're going to give action points.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, what can you do? What's the next step you can take?
Speaking.
So I have two action points. The first one being for those who are married.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching this and you're married, pray and discuss with your spouse how your marriage, you know, talk about how you already are serving a kingdom purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we doing really with our marriage on a spiritual level?
Yeah. You may or may not know.
You know, what
it's good to talk
and you
about.
Might be doing some things without even realizing it. Like you might.
And if you are married to someone and you think, oh, well, my marriage has no kingdom purpose because my husband or my wife is not even a believer. I can't even get them to go to church. Oh, my gosh. You know what? That doesn't even matter, because you can still, you have a kingdom purpose, and you can pray and ask God. And God, I believe, is going to use you to minister to your spouse to win them to the kingdom if they're not already in it.
And just pray for your spouse.
And pray for them, yeah. And you know what? You dive in deep to the word, because he's going to show you how much he loves you, and then that's going to be able to flow out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes
things.
So
I think, I said, you know, discuss with your spouse,
mm-hmm,
you know, what are we doing with our marriage that really does serve the kingdom,
yeah,
of Jesus, the kingdom of heaven?
Yeah.
Big picture. But also write down three goals for, yeah, how you as a couple can further advance God's kingdom.
I'm going to say one of those goals should be get involved in your church.
Yeah. Hey, maybe we could serve together,
yeah,
as a couple.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we can, you know, invite those unsaved neighbors over for,
yes,
for dinner sometime, and just.
You have a lot more influence in your world, in your neighborhood, in your circle, mm-hmm, than you even know.
Mm-hmm.
Way more influence.
So I believe that God will give you three goals, three just practical things you can do.
Yeah.
As a married couple, just advancing his kingdom here on this earth. And to those who are unmarried, this is the second action point. To those who are unmarried, you know, maybe you're seeking to find a spouse or just open to it, but pray and write down three biblical characteristics that you believe your future spouse should have.
Yeah.
And I remember I hadn't dated for a while and met someone, and we only dated a couple months because it was just a terrible train wreck of a thing. And my mom just shared a scripture with me too, because my emotions were very wrapped up in this thing. And she just said, you know, the Bible says like a godly wife builds her house.
Mm,
but she could tell this person is just
tearing it down.
Tearing down. And man, the Bible just has so much great
wisdom.
Just just read Proverbs, just some one-liners. You should read one chapter a day. Yeah, so three biblical characteristics that you believe your future spouse should have.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
It's going to bless you. So what does the Bible have to say about arranged marriages?
A lot.
A lot. God needs to arrange your marriage.
Yeah. And if you're already married and he didn't arrange it, he can probably rearrange it in your marriage. I'm not saying like, get rid of your spouse.
No.
I'm not saying that.
No.
He can rearrange some things within your marriage to make it a lot better for you. So
yeah, that's really true.
This was a great podcast.
It really was.
I enjoyed it a lot. Hey, you need to subscribe to this podcast. And if you haven't already, you need to comment and let us know what you thought, because we like to read your comments. And if you are interested, you should definitely check out the videos that the other episodes that YouTube is going to suggest to you, because I think it's really going to bless you a lot. And we are so honored to get to do this. This is such a blessing. And we love you guys, and we will see you again soon.